under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Well, today we go underwater and bring you a story and analysis from our life sciences team. When you think of sea life living off our coast, you might think of the Atlantic or Cape Cod and the islands. But our focus is Boston Harbor. Once one of the dirtiest bodies of water in America, now one of the cleanest. Researchers and volunteers met yesterday working in the harbor to increase their clam population. And WGBH Radio's Ann Mostu boarded a boat, put on her boots, and joined volunteers getting dirty.
It's a muddy, messy sight. About 50 high school students digging and raking in the clam flats on Thompson Island, visible from the Quincy shoreline. Red and green algae has made its way onto their boots and clothes, but they don't seem to mind.
I think it's fun. I like getting a little dirty. What we're doing is we're spreading out these nets to protect the clams.
Thomas Bell is a 17-year-old high school student from Hyde Park. He and some friends have dug a large, rectangular bed in the mud. They're picking off green crabs and raking. Then they scatter fistfuls of baby clams, each about the size of a dime, onto the plot. 15-year-old Elizabeth Foley of Quincy is placing the net on top to protect the clams from crabs, seagulls, and other predators.
Typically, people don't think of saving species like clams. They go for bigger, like sea turtles and things like that. But you can always start small with clams, and they are really beneficial to the harbor. They help decompose decaying organic matter, and they eat it as a food source. So that takes some of the bacteria out of the harbor that would be harmful to us.
Thomas and Elizabeth are part of an impressive collaboration between the Thompson Island Outward Bound Education Center, UMass Boston, the State Department of Fish and Game, and other groups. They've bonded over one fact. The soft-shell clam population in Boston Harbor has shrunk by a third over the last decade due to pollution, overfishing, and destruction of native clam flats. But UMass Professor of Coastal Ecosystem Management, Anna Maria Frankich, says the harbor used to be full of shellfish.
We are actually putting soft-shell clam seeding because this is the only shellfish that is commercially harvested in Boston Harbor. We used to have 30 and more species of shellfish in Boston Harbor, and one of the major ones was oyster.
Frankich works with the students for more than an hour in the late morning sun. The smell of fish lingers at lunch, but it's sandwiches today. These clams cannot be harvested for at least 3 years. But some permitted clam harvesting already takes place in East Boston, according to Mary Griffin, commissioner of the State Department of Fish and Game.
The clams can't be eaten unless they're purified or cleaned. And so our Division of Marine Fisheries operates a purification plant in Newburyport. So the clams, when they're harvested, they're fully cleaned and tested to make sure they're safe to eat, and then they can be enjoyed as food.
This summer, the group will also seed soft-shell clams in other parts of the harbor, touching Hull, Hingham, and Quincy. The researchers say there's no way to tell how long it'll be before the clam populations are self-sustaining. But they say it'll probably be a while before the public is excited about eating clams from the harbor. Ann Mostu, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
Well, the clam restoration project is certainly growing. Researchers and volunteers planted 70,000 clams yesterday, up from 54,000 last year. Beyond this effort, we were curious how it's possible that these clams can clean the water and then purify themselves. And for that, we turn to Cape Cod and WGBH Radio science editor Heather Goldstone. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, explain to us how clams and shellfish play a role in our ecosystem.
Well, they play a number of different roles, and what you were just referring to in terms of cleaning the water, these animals, clams, shellfish, in general, oysters, mussels, are filter feeders, and so they're pulling in the water and literally filtering the food out of it that they need, and at the same time, they often filter out things that might contaminate the water, from our point of view, things that might be unhealthy for us, and they can, in some cases, tolerate those better than us and kind of build up higher levels and still be relatively healthy with those higher levels of the contaminants. So that's how they purify the water, is literally just by filtering it.
But then it sounds like they have to be purified themselves, though, at some point.
Right. Whether they're then safe to eat is a different question. And as was mentioned in that story, the way that shellfish from Boston Harbor are purified is that there's actually a purification plant, which, interesting little side trivia, it's the oldest and largest continually operating purification facility in the country, that Newburyport facility. And basically what happens is that the clams are taken there, put into very clean water that has been tested and is clean. It comes from very deep so that it's not subject to some of the contamination that you would find in shallower coastal waters. And it's then also put through ultraviolet light to make sure that it's been disinfected. And that's the kind of water that these clams are held in, and they're tested periodically and basically just allowed to be in clean water and let their own systems detox for a while until they're considered safe. And the fisheries officials test for a number of different contaminants. They're testing for bacteria from sewage. They look for red tide. They look for heavy metals, pesticides, chemicals that might come from oil. So a whole range of different things. And when the clams are deemed safe and clean, that's when they are then handed back to whoever caught them or grew them, and they can then be taken to market.
Well, the clams face not only the challenge of pollution, but also ocean acidification. Explain to us what that is.
Right. Populations of shellfish around New England have just been decimated over the past several decades by a combination of pollution and disease and overfishing. And these sorts of new projects that we have going on to rebuild those populations are going to face a challenge in the future, simply in that the chemistry of ocean water is changing. The ocean has absorbed about a third of all the carbon dioxide emissions that we've put into the atmosphere in the past 200 years. And as a result, the pH is already 30% lower. The acidity of the ocean is actually increasing, which is a pretty phenomenal thing to think about when you think about the size of the ocean, that we can change that fundamental chemistry. But we have started to do that already. And as the acidity increases, it becomes harder for shellfish to actually build their shells, which are made out of calcium carbonate. And those shells become thinner and more brittle. There's actually even research that came out last year showing that quahogs and scallops grown in modern-day water, compared to what water would have been like 200 years ago, their shells are already thinner, and they actually are twice as likely to die in the first 30 days of life. So it's definitely going to become a greater challenge as time goes on.
And on a different note, the name soft-shell clam, if anyone has ever gotten steamers knows they're not really soft. They're as hard as hard-shell clams. So where does the name come from?
Well, they're not quite as hard as hard-shell clams, and that's really where the name comes from. The shell of a soft-shell clam, also called a steamer, the shell is a little bit thinner than it is for a quahog or a hard-shell clam, which if you've ever gotten those, I mean, they're really substantial shells. So it's kind of a relative thing. They're not soft. You're not going to be able to kind of squish them in your hand. Right. They're not soft-shell in that regard, no.
Well, thank you so much, Heather Goldstone, science editor for WGBH Radio. Thanks, Heather.
My pleasure.
You can stay on top of life science issues by reading Heather's Living Lab blog. Go to WGBHnews.org. Plus, you can share Anne's report from Boston Harbor and see photos of the clam restoration efforts online. That's at WGBHnews.org.
If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.